cabaret, circus, variety. The history of Blackpool is inextricably entwined with the history of popular entertainment. And when fashions or technology changed, Blackpool led the way. Professor Vanessa Toulmin of the University of Sheffield, the curator of Admission All Classes.
The fourth Admission All Classes is really to celebrate the rich filmic heritage of the region and Blackpool in particular. So I've invited colleagues from the Northwest Film Archive and also the BFI, British Film Institute, to bring all their wonderful treasures from the last 100 years, really. So we're looking at films from 1899 right until the 1960s.
And the highlight of the weekend is the remarkable work of Lancashire's Mitchell and Kenyon.
The company from Blackburn made films between 1898 to 1913. They were commissioned by showmen and shown in the days before permanent cinemas were built. They were throwaway, ephemera pieces of filmic history that were never meant to survive. And they were found 10, 13 years ago in a basement of a shop in Blackburn, the original basement premises for Mitchell and Kenyon. And they were rescued by Peter Worden, who then had them at the bottom of his garden in a fridge for 5 years. And then in 2000, he donated them to the British Film Institute.
Wonderfully restored, these films bring ordinary life in Edwardian Lancashire into sharper focus.
I think what makes Mitchell and Kenyon special is the immediacy of the image. What they specialised in was filming local events. So it was almost like newsreel footage of the day, but it wasn't news, it was actually the main event. Their motto was local films for local people.
And among the local travelling showmen who were quick to see the possibilities of Mitchell and Kenyon's work were the Edwardian ancestors of Peter Sedgwick, a central figure on Blackpool's entertainment scene today.
If they was going to a town like Wigan, they would get Mitchell and Kenyon to go and film just little people coming out of factories, working in factories, schools, see the children, go around with the cameras in the day, filming it, and then it would be advertised, come and see yourself on the big screen tonight at such a place, and people would come along and see themselves.
And that's how the advertiser films, come and see yourselves on the screen. And they would actually give money to people who recognised themselves on the screen as well, and they would have a band or an orchestra or local children all part of the film show. And of course, it's big business. If you film a child, you get the parents, the immediate family, the grandparents. One film, we've got 5,000 children in it. That's a lot of punters.
But if the Sedgwicks at the turn of the 20th century saw the financial benefits of these films, 100 years on, Peter Sedgwick can see their historical value.
When you look at it, you can imagine when you see these people coming out of work and you think, what they've got to go home to? They're not going home to a house with central heating and running hot water. They'll most probably have a bath in a tin tub. You get that feeling when you watch the film. You can see what a hard life people's had in the past.
I think for all historians, all forms of visual medium are incredibly useful, but I think the Mitchell and Kenyon collection has no doubt rewritten what we know of Edwardian Britain. I think the greatest quote I ever had from Mitchell and Kenyon was from John Barnes, a very eminent film historian, who said to me, other filmmakers film the world, Mitchell and Kenyon bring the world to you.
So what will you be able to see this January? Professor Vanessa Toulmin.
What we're doing in Blackpool on the 13th of January at the Grand is celebrating Mitchell and Kenyon in North Lancashire. So we're showing the films of Morecambe, Lancaster, Cumbria, Barrow, which of course was in North Lancashire in the 1900s, the Isle of Man. And then on the Sunday evening, we moved to Blackpool. We're showing amazing films of Blackpool, Victoria Pier, which is what the North Pier was known as. People promenading on the pier wearing top hat and tails, going to church on Easter Sunday, wonderful footage of the trams as they're going up and down the promenade, and this incredible film, 1905, a Blackpool promenade extension, which anyone who's in Blackpool now will know that they are still doing the promenade extension 102 years later. So a wonderful range.
But that's not all. Over the weekend, there'll be a show from another treasure trove of Northwest cinematic gems, the Northwest Film Archive. Marion Hewitt.
Northwest Film Archive is a public regional film archive, and our remit is to collect and preserve material made in or about the northwest of England. The range of material covers professional and amateur material from the 1890s to the present day. There are newsreels, local topicals shot by cinemas for local people, industrial footage showing all the different industries in the region, social material showing holidays, municipal films showing services that various towns would offer to the ratepayers, and of course all the amateur collections which show people's personal and domestic lives in the region.
And it's these home movies that can deliver the keenest insight into the past. That's why the North West Film Archive wants to hear from anyone who has any film or video, whenever it was shot.
Lots of people think that there won't be any interest because it's only their house or their cousin's wedding and so on. But it really is of great interest to social historians to see how life was lived in the region. We're always interested in developing the collection through acquiring new collections that reflect life in the region. So if you have material at home or you work somewhere and you know there's material in the building that might be at risk, then if you contact us, you can tell us what there is and we will look after it for the region. And in return, we can usually make a DVD copy for you.
The Northwest Archive and Mitchell and Kenyon open a window on Blackpool and Lancashire throughout the first half of the 20th century. But film is part of a much longer entertainment history. Professor Toulmin.
The cinema was a long line of different types of visual medium. You had panoramas, you had cosmoramas, you had shadow puppetry, all these forms of projected image.
And most famous of all, the magic lantern. Professor Mervyn Hurd, the leading lantern showman and authority.
The magic lantern was a slide projector. Lantern shows were the forerunners of cinema and television, and very, very popular during the Victorian era. A lot of people think that the Victorians actually invented the magic lantern, but that's not the case. It goes back to about the middle of the 17th century. And the images presented with the magic lantern were either hand-painted or later photographic images on glass. And they covered all kinds of different subject matter. Some were produced purely for entertainment purposes, sort of narrative stories. But also there were quite a lot of educational and moral reform material, kind of stuff which was produced for the temperance movement, for example, or for the church and organisations like that.
But if the lantern is earlier than electricity, how did they power the lamp?
Well, to begin with, they used something called colza oil, which I think was a distillation of cabbage leaves. It must have stank the place out. It was pretty smelly stuff and very, very poor light. And if you look at some of the early illustrations of lantern shows, inevitably you would find them being shown for a very small group of people, maybe no more than 7 or 8 people, with the lanternist virtually 2 or 3 feet away from the screen because it was so poor. And this kind of continued until about 1780, when something came along called the argon lamp. This was a circular wick, but it gave a much brighter light. And then eventually, in the middle of the 19th century, you got limelight, which was oxygen and hydrogen gas, and a very dangerous form of lighting it was for the operator.
Right up until the early years of the 20th century, the lantern was being used by travelling showmen, religious groups, and families as a form of popular entertainment and education. And surprisingly, it wasn't the movies that did for it. Mervyn Hurd.
It was the First World War that really did for the lantern, because the mass of story material which the lantern used, and quite a lot of ballad song material, was highly sentimental. Some of it was very jingoistic as well. And as most people reckon, the 1418 war put an end to Victorian sentiment because it was just a bloodbath. And I think it was that that changed people's opinion. There's an interesting story about one of the most famous lantern slide producers, which was the Bamforth factory in Holmfirth in Yorkshire. And it's said that after the 1418 war was over, they took all their lantern slides, all their stocks of magic lantern slide images of stories and these mud songs, ballad songs, they took them out into the back of the factory, smashed them all up and buried them there. And they then switched to postcard production.
Happily, Mervyn Hurd is keeping the lantern very much alive, and you can enjoy it when Admission All Classes celebrates Blackpool and the North West on film.